Blog Talk Radio.
Watchmen on the wall. End time. End time. Global Link Ministry coming on from the hot spot down there in Atlanta, Georgia on Block Talk Radio. Dirty Ball is my co-host, and he is giving me the opportunity to preach the gospel on Block Talk Radio. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. Don't you know what's ready to happen? Don't you know what's getting ready to happen? I mean soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. We are going to see Jesus Christ. Why? Because the world is talking stuff. The world is telling everybody something is going on that we need to know about. And the only way you can know about it is from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will tell you to read the Word of God. And the Word of God is a roadmap to let you know the beginning and the end. And we know who is the beginning and we know who's the end. Jesus Christ is the beginning, he's Alpha, and he's Omega. And I'm here to tell you this evening, get your soul right with God. Quit trying to work your way to heaven. Quit trying to be good. Amen. Quit trying to be good, all the goodness that you can say. And come on and admit that you are a sinner by birth. You're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Did your mother conceive you? And the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that was all caused by what Adam and Eve did in the garden. They disobeyed God. They didn't listen to what God told them to do. And so what they did, they ate the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. And Satan said, I'm going to get rid of the human race. I am going to call the human race to be set apart from God. And I want to damn the whole creation. That's what Satan wants to do. He wants to kill everybody. He wants to murder everybody. He wants to keep everybody away from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because God said in his book, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. Don't go to hell for nothing. Don't go to hell just because somebody told you there wasn't no hell and there ain't no God and there ain't none of this and the Bible ain't true. That's a lie, and it comes from the pits of hell. The Word of God is true. This is the only book on the planet that can point you to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's no other book that's written like the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, the only book, the only love book. It shows you the love of God, and it shows you the wrath of God. It shows you what God loves, and it shows you what God hates. And what God hates is sin. He hates sin. He hates sin so much that he had to prepare hell for the devil and his angel. Woo! This is what I'm saying. Hell was prepared for the devil and all his angels. Think about that. Hell was not prepared for the human race. The human race was made in the likeness and the image of God Almighty, and God owns every soul. He owns every soul that belongs to him, and it comes from Adam and Eve. And to this present day, every human being, every race, every nationality, every nation came from Adam and Eve. Woo! They were the first two people that started reproduction, and ever since then, man is reproducing people ever since then, and every man that's born is born in sin, shaped in iniquity, and Satan says, I got him, but that's a lie. He don't have everybody. He's got majority of the world confused now. But thank God for God Almighty and his son. God himself became flesh, manifested in the flesh, seen of angels, justified by the Spirit, received up in the glory, and he came 2,000 years ago, woo, born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, who suffered and died on Calvary's cross, and he's been gone for 2,000 years. 2,000 years, Jesus Christ has been gone from this planet Earth. And you know what? He's coming back. He's coming back, saints. I'm telling you right now, before we go any further, I want you to bow your heads wherever you are, whoever you are. I don't care what you done. I don't care what you done said. I don't care how much you said. You believe in God. When you believe in God, you got to know God. There's a lot of we believe in God, but you got to know God. And the only way you can know God himself and his power is through his son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercy. We ask you right now, use my lips of clay. Let the word of God go out in a mighty way, because it's not by power, not by might, but by your Holy Spirit. Thus says the Lord, and we ask you right now, anyone that's listening in, let them tune their spiritual ear in and see what thus says the Lord God Almighty in these last and evil days, because we know the time is running out. We know you're soon to come, and we're here tonight. We're here this evening to preach your word, to explain your word, to proclaim your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Watchmen on the wall, looking, hoping, and expecting the return of who? The great God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something this evening. I got some news from the atheist world. The atheists, those that said they don't believe in God, is changing their mind now. They're changing their mind because they see the catastrophe and the chaos and the debauchery of all of mankind. Where is man headed? What is man going to do? Oh, we looking for the president election to try to settle our difference. We try to make, amen, that everything's going to be straightened out. But let me tell you, the world, listen to what I'm saying, the world is not going to get no better than what it already is. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. It's going to get so bad that men are going to turn on each other. Man is going to be wiping out each other. Families are going to be turning on each other. War is going to break out. There's going to be more earthquakes. There are going to be more famines. There are going to be more killings. There are going to be more lying, cheating, backbiting. There are going to be everything is going to be on the increase, because the world, woo, listen to what I'm saying. The devil is the god of this age. He is the god of this age. He took control of mankind. Listen, Satan took control of mankind back there in the Garden of Eden. And ever since then, man has been under the influence of Satan himself. And God is saying, I know Satan is trying to tear my human family apart, but I'm going to save those that out of sin, death, hell, and the grave, those that admitted that received them, me, he said, I'm going to give them power to become the sons of God. And are you on the winning side? Are you on the winning side? Well, the devil say he's winning, but the devil's losing. He's losing every day, because God is saving souls every day. It don't seem like it, but he's saving souls every day. Seems like the world is totally under the influence of the devil himself, and it is. People listen to Satan any time. People believe in the devil before they believe in God's truth. Because men love lies and not the truth. The truth reproves you. The truth rebukes you. The truth tells you exactly what you are. And man don't want to say what he is. What is man? Man is a stone, cold-blooded, broken-off sinner that has been separated from God by Adam and Eve. Being disobedient, man was totally cut off from God, but God got a way to reunite, to reconcile man back to God, and that was Jesus Christ coming down here to die for our sins, your sins, and the sins of the whole world, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He came and suffered on Calvary's cross that you can have a right to the tree of life, that you can have a right connection back with God Almighty through his son. And guess what? Jesus Christ is going to do it. He's going to do it whether he don't care. If he don't save number three persons on this planet, he's still going to save somebody. Because let me tell you, it's not up. Ooh, look here. It's not up to but one person whether you want to die. how you want to die. If you want to die with Satan, you can. If you want to die with Christ, you can. You have the choice. You make the choice. You have the decision to either accept Jesus Christ or reject Jesus Christ. He said, if you come to me, I'll give you rest. I'll give you peace. I'll give you joy. I'll give you love. I'll give you to be my son be my son and be my daughters if you will come to me. And the only way you can come to God is through Jesus Christ, because he's the only one. He's the only one that ever died for mankind and came back from the grave on his own power. And the reason he was able to do that, because man cannot do it, false gods cannot do it, philosophers and theologians cannot do it, mechanics, bridge builders, road builders cannot do it. There's only one man that can bring man back to God, and that is Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it and let you know exactly what the Bible says in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. Amen. If you have your Bible with you, wherever you are, amen, we're going to see exactly what 4 and 12 says in the book of Acts. Fourth chapter, 12th verse says this right now. Right now, this is what it says. It says this. 12th verse, fourth chapter in the book of Acts. Neither is there salvation in any other. I'll read that again. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, given among the world, given among the society, given among the nation, whereby we must be saved. What is the writer saying? He said there is no other name given under heaven whereby men, women, boys and girls can be saved but by Jesus Christ, because he is the only one that had the power enough to be resurrected from the dead on his own power. He is God. What you say? I say he is God Almighty in the flesh, justified by the Spirit, received up into glory, coming back again to get a church without a spot or without a wrinkle, coming back to get a holy church, coming back to get a righteous church, coming back to get a blameless church, coming back to get a Holy Ghost-filled church, coming back with all power in heaven to get his blood-bought church, because it was the shed blood of Jesus Christ that he died on Calvary and shed his blood. And the word of God said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. No man can be saved but by the blood of Jesus Christ. For Jesus Christ is the only man, God-man, excuse me, he's God-man. There's other gods in the world. There's all kind of gods. There's over 13 false gods in the Bible. Over 13 false gods. And these gods got all kinds of other gods to turn away, get people to turn away from the true God, because there's all kind of false lying spirits that the prince power of the air, and they rule in high places, dark places. They have the prince of power to deceive man, and these spirits are in our world today, and it's deceiving it, it's lying, it's doing all kind of filthy iniquities, and the only way that a man can be separated from sin, death, hell, and the grave is he must come to the abundant life, and that abundant life is Jesus Christ, because what he did, this is what he did. He was born without sin. He was born perfect. He was born sinless. He was born of a Virgin Mary, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And that birth was no other than God himself. Listen to what I'm saying. God himself in the human form. in the human flesh. And he had no sin. He did no sin. But guess what he did? He became a sin offering. He paid the penalty of sin. And that sin was death. And by his death, he paid your penalty. He paid for your sin. He paid for your lying, your backwardness, your hypocrite. Ooh, he paid for your fornication, paid for your adultery, paid for your lying, cheating. He paid for your incest. He paid for your lesbianism. He paid for your homosexuality. He paid for your incest. He paid for every sin that man can ever bring upon the face of the earth, and he paid the penalty at Calvary's cross. They what? They whipped him. They beat him. They ridicule him. They embarrass him. They did everything they could to discredit of who he was. And they, some knew who he was. Some didn't know who he was. Some didn't want to believe who he was. But he was the very God Almighty in the flesh. But in order for God to appease the atonement for sin, somebody had to die. Somebody had to die. Everybody been trying to find a Christ that wouldn't have to die. But you ain't going to find no other man other than Jesus Christ. Not that he had to die, but he was willing enough to give up his life because God himself knew before the foundation of the world there was only one way man could be redeemed, and that he had to be redeemed by a sinless blood. He had to be redeemed by a sinless man. He had to be redeemed by a perfect man. He had to be redeemed by God himself and became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten Son, and he had to have a blood system. He had to be human. He had to touch the infirmities of men and see what it's like to be a human being. And God became human that he knew what it would be like to know how to be tempted. He knew what to know how to be sad. He knew what to know how to be disgruntled. He knew how to cry. He knew everything about the human family because he became human. And since he became human, somebody had to die. Well, somebody said, well, how about trying an angel? How about trying one of those cherubims and cherubims and seraphims and teraphims? How about one of them die? They couldn't die for man. They wasn't qualified. They never was human. They didn't know what it was to be human. They were not capable of dying for the human race. And God's got billions of angels, billions on top of billions of angels. And none of them could die for the human race. No cherubim could die. No cherubim could die. No teraphim could die. No creature. No creature could have died on Calvary's cross to redeem man. Now listen to me what I'm saying. I'm saying that all the angels that God had, none of them was qualified to die for the human race. He didn't die just for the black man, the white man, the Jew, or the Gentile. He died for the whole round world. God has no respect to person. He ain't got no pets. He ain't got nobody to look up to. But man won't look up to God because man is unworthy to receive this salvation. But guess what? Guess what? God so loved you so much. He loved you with an everlasting love. I don't deserve to be saved, but God saved me because he loved me. It's an unconditional love that he had for the world. He don't love sin at all. He don't love backbiting. He don't love just a church, people going to church saying that they're Christians. He don't love church goers that go to church and ain't never had an experience with his son Jesus Christ. Because going to church does not save you. Going to church does not save you. Going to church does not save you. What saves you is faith in Jesus Christ. What saves you is the blood of Jesus Christ. What saves you is the love of God. Woo! Shed abroad in the heart that he loved you so much that he was willing enough to be beat up on and kicked on and spit on and knocked up on and lied upon. He was willing to take all that punishment. And it wasn't no picnic. And if you want me to prove it to you, I'd like to see you take a cross. I'd like to see you even try to take a cross down there in Jerusalem and take it up that hill and let the world nail you to a piece of wood and let the world strip you down till you almost was naked. Let the world ridicule you. Let the world do you like a dog. Let the world do you like a slain lamb before the foundation of the world. I'd like to see you do it. I'd like to see you take it and hang on the cross and give up the words saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I'd like to see you, woo, looked upon as a slain lamb and don't say a mumbling word to regret that you slain. I'd like to see you. And if you can do it, well, good for you. If you can do it, I'd like to see you resurrect yourself. I'd like to see you come back from life, come back to life after you've been slain. And all your blood out of your body drained out. I'd like to see you come back with all power. And come on now. Come on, you so big and bad. Man thinks he's bad, thinks he can acquire salvation on his own, and he can't do nothing without Jesus Christ. Listen to what I'm saying. Jesus Christ, I'm trying to get to nail it in. I'm trying to nail it in your heart. I'm trying to nail it in your spirit that if you're not saved this evening, if you don't know who Jesus Christ is, you can't go to the Pope. You can't go to none of these big evangelists. You can't go to Billy Graham. You can't go to Pat Robertson. You can't go to none of these men and get what Jesus got, because Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus is not just an ordinary man. He's a God man. He's God in man. And God exalts above the heavens. God, it owns everything. God is one that made. God is eternal. Before I was even thought of, God existed. And when I'm dead and gone and pushing up days somewhere in somebody's graveyard, let me God still will be alive. Ooh, can't live without him, can't do without him, can't sing without him, can't do nothing without him, because he is my joy, he is my hope, he is my peace. So if you can't find nobody other than Jesus Christ, why you want to think that some man is going to save you? Ain't no man going to save you. Ain't no man on this planet going to save you. Ain't no man done died that can save you. Your money can't save you. Your looks can't save you. Your pastor can't save you. Nobody can save you but Jesus Christ. And that's what God died for, to save your what? Your soul. Your S-O-U-L. Your spirit man. Save that inner man. Save you from what? Death. Separation from God forever. That's what spiritual death is. Spiritual death that says that when you die, if you die without Jesus Christ in your life, if you die without repenting from your sin, guess what? You're going to die and go to hell. And you're going to be separated from God forever. You can't get saved after you're dead. You can't get saved after you're dead. If you don't get Jesus Christ now, and you die tomorrow, and you ain't saved, you haven't repented. I'm not picking at you. I'm just telling you the facts. I'm telling you, if you don't know Jesus Christ now and have had a change in your life and have repented of your sins, and you say, well, I don't sin a whole lot. Everybody done sin a whole lot. Remember, you're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You can't save yourself. You can't die for yourself. You can't resurrect yourself. God can do it, though. God can do it. If you want him to, he can resurrect you today. From what? From sin, death, hell, and the grave. He can change your life that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know you've been born again. Jesus Christ said, except a man be born again of the water and of the spirit, he cannot. You listen to what he said. He said, you cannot. You can't enter into the kingdom of God. Your soul, your spirit cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Let's own your body. Your body cannot go. before you can even a born-again, baptized, Holy Ghost-filled man, a woman that's in Jesus Christ, if you would try to go to heaven right now in an ordinary carnal body, you would never get in. You will never get in because flesh and blood will never inherit the kingdom of God. You can't get in. And God is not a racist. But he's got a heaven that's pure. He's got a heaven that's righteous. He's got a heaven that's everlasting righteous. He's got a heaven that nothing defiles your walk on the highway of holiness. And so if you have live in a defiled body, because your body still got sin in it, you can be saved, and your body still got sin in it. And so you going to heaven in this natural body, I can't even go. I don't care how righteous I am. I don't care how pretty I am. I don't care how much I go to church. I don't care how much I do. I still can't go to heaven in this body. But if Jesus Christ was to change my body at the second coming of Jesus Christ, at the rapture of the church, when this mortal body would have put on immortality, I'm going to have a changed body. That's the only way that I can enter in. Because when we go to heaven, we got to have a body just like Christ. Because Christ couldn't have went back to heaven with flesh, with blood in his system. Because when he shed that blood, that was eternal. He cannot get that blood back. That blood has been shed on Calvary's cross. And since it's been shed on Calvary's cross and he's been resurrected because he resurrected himself, now he's got all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And now the human race can be saved through his blood, because when he opened that fountain up, the Emmanuel's blood came from his veins. And guess what? If the sinner fall beneath the flow, he'll lose all his guilty stain. So you're saved by the blood through the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, that means that your heart has been, the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your in your heart through the Holy Spirit. So now you are a child of God. You are a son of God. You have been born again. You are saved from sin, death, hell, and the grave. And no longer you have to worry about getting saved over and over and over and over and over again. You only get saved once. You're only born once. You're only born again once. People talk about, I got saved, and then first thing you know, they go, I got to get, no, that ain't biblical. That's not biblical. It's not in the Bible that you get saved 3 or 4 times out of your lifetime. The Bible says, amen. The Bible says, once you're saved, he saved you with eternal redemption. You'll see it with the Spirit until the day of redemption. A man can backslide. He can backslide. But he can't become unsaved, and the devil cannot reclaim his soul, cannot reclaim his spirit. Why? Because God has sealed him with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. And the day of redemption is when this mortal body will be changed into immortality, and the trumpets of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and we that remain alive shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And whether you in church or outside the church, that has nothing to do with your salvation, because there's people have never been in a literally church building. They've been in the woods. They've been in a shack probably having church service. They ain't been in no big church with chandeliers and cushioned benches, and you sit up in there for 3 or 4 hours and you hear somebody preach. Good, that's good that they're preaching, but what are they preaching? Are they preaching salvation? Are they preaching redemption through the blood of Jesus Christ? Is they preaching hell fire, that if you die without Jesus Christ, you're going to hell, period? Jesus Christ preached more about hell than he did about heaven. He warned the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He warned them, oh, ye vipers, oh, ye grumbling dogs. Why? Because he realized that hell is a place of eternity. Think about that. Hell is a place of eternity. If you die without Christ in your life, if you have never repented of your sins, and you have never turned from your sins, and you now have never been broken up, that you have sinned against a holy, holy, loving, merciful, Ooh, merciful God that wants to save you. If you have never repented from your sins and let the blood of Jesus Christ be shed abroad in your heart through the Holy Spirit, and you close your eyes without Christ, I guarantee to you, according to the Bible, you will lift your eyes up in hell. That's a guarantee. But you cannot deny the grace of God. And you cannot deny that what John the Baptist said, repent. You cannot reject what Jesus Christ said, except you repent. Except you repent, you shall likewise perish. And perish means to be ever separated from God. You can't go to heaven in your sins. Your soul got to be saved. It's got to be sanctified. And sanctified don't mean jumping and shouting. No, it don't. Sanctification means to be set apart from sin. And if you set apart from sin, that means that the blood of Jesus Christ separates you from sin through the Holy Spirit. Now you are sanctified. You have no longer love sin. A saint of God hates sin. I'm talking about a saint now. I'm talking about a saint of God. I'm talking about a Holy Ghost filled young lady, a young man. When you get with Jesus Christ, you don't like, you don't love sin like you used to. You ain't partying, you ain't lusting, you, oh, come on now. Come on now. You don't want nothing to go wrong and sin against God when he saves you. You're going to sin, but you don't practice sin. If you sin, he said, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. While we're living in the last day and sin is rampant. And the church, woo! Some parts of the church is in a mess. Some of our church is in a mess. The whole church is not corrupt. But you got a corrupt church on the planet and you got a righteous church on the planet. The corrupt church belongs to Lucifer. According to the Bible, called the devil, got his church. He got his church that's filled with sin. He got his church that had a form of godliness but no power. He has his church. He make his own rule. He has his church that you can do anything you want to, and God will still forgive you. But let me tell you, you can't do anything you want to do it, and God can save you, because until you come to a point in your life that you regret sin and you hate sin and you want to turn from sin, God can't save you. And God can't save you. Person that don't want to be saved. If you don't want to be saved, God ain't going to press you. He said, whosoever will, let him come. He said, come to me and I'll give you rest. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, come on now, come on. He said, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. He said, now is the day of salvation. He said, redeeming the time, because the time was evil, and we're living in an evil time. We're living in a time never known to human history, never known to human history. And if you go back to the sixth chapter of Genesis, that was when the world was filled of unrighteousness. That was the time of Noah. And you see what happened to the generation of Noah. What happened to the generation of Noah? Generation of Noah was so bad, and so evil. So rotten, turmoil everywhere. And God, with his supersonic hearing and super seeing eye, saw the wickedness upon the face of the earth, and it grieved him at his spirit. And out of all the people that was up on the earth in the days of Noah, God only found 8 people that was righteous. And that righteous people was Noah, his wife, and his 3 sons, and his 3 daughter-in-laws. Those were the only 8 people up on the planet after millions of people had been born from the time of Adam all the way up to the flood. And it got so bad that God said to Noah, I'm going to give you 120 days, 120 years 120 years God gave Noah to build a ark. And God told Noah, all flesh is corrupt before me, but I have found grace in thee. Build me a boat, a big boat, a boat in which those that want to come on, they can come on and build it big enough to take all the animals on. And God told Noah, get busy. 120 years. How long has it been since Jesus left this planet? God done gave this generation 2,000 years to get ready. Get ready. Get ready, because we are living in the last days. We're getting ready just before he comes back. We're getting ready because the church is in, part of the church is in a mess. We're getting ready because the Bible says some will have a form of godliness but have no power. We're getting ready because we're living in the age of Laodicea, the last church in the book of Revelation at the third chapter around the ninth verse. They're called Laodicea Church. And this church was polluted. This church has some saved people in it, but let me tell you, there was most of them was low down and rotten. Let's see what condition they was in the third chapter of Revelation. In the third chapter of Revelation, the church of Laodicea, that was a corrupt church, but yet still it was corrupt. There was some in there that was saved. Now listen to what it said. It says, I write to the church of Laodicea, these things says the amen, the faithful and true witnesses, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works, that you are neither cold or hot. I would you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. This is Christ telling this church, y'all are neither cold. In other words, you half-hearted. You're neither hot. You're lukewarm. You're straddling the fence. You're living in the world, but you want to live for Christ. So you seesawing. You seesawing. You have a form of godliness, but you don't have no power. You call yourself a Christian, but you live like the devil. You're doing what the world doing, but you come to church on Sunday morning after you done been out all night long, drinking and cussing and lying, committing fornication with the parties, and you say having a good time. You're just doing this. You're doing that. Sunday morning, you try to get up and go to church and teach Sunday school, and you don't know nothing about the lesson because you haven't studied. You haven't read your Bible. You haven't prayed. Why? Because you are lukewarm. And Jesus Christ said, lukewarm, I'm going to regurgitate you up out of my mouth. In other words, I'm going to vomit you up. Now, say, if you say, walk like you say, talk like you say, do what God tell you to do. If you say, if you ain't say, you're going to do what the devil tell you to do. You're going to love the world. And then try to put God in it a little bit. No, God got to be the first. He got to be the first tomorrow. The next day, he got to be first to eternity. Listen to what it said. He said, because you're lukewarm, lukewarm coffee, it tastes awful. Lukewarm milk, it tastes awful. Now, he said, now, if you want lukewarm coffee, it's going to make you sick. You can drink cold coffee or you can drink hot coffee. But lukewarm coffee tastes a mess. And lukewarm living is making Jesus sick. And you're neither cold or you're neither hot. You're just lukewarm. I will spit you out of my mouth. And because you say I am rich, you're prospering. You got your car, you got everything. You're just rich, rich in materialistic stuff. And increase with goods. You got all kind of programs in the church. You got you got buses and you got everything. You got everything and you're saying with goods and have need of nothing. That's what the church is saying. We have no need in nothing. We're prospering. You're prospering, but you're not prospering in the Holy Ghost. You're not prospering in witnessing to people. You're not prospering in praying. You're not prospering in being faithful. You're not prospering in doing what God has called you to do, because we got a lot of disobedient Christians. We got a lot of carnal Christians. And he said, now look, this carnal Christian, he said, y'all babes in Christ. You still sucking on the breast. You still sucking milk. You can't go through nothing. You're always complaining. Well, stop complaining and start serving God in the spirit. And when you serve in the spirit, whoo, you're going to have all kind of problems, because the devil don't want you to serve Christ in the spirit. Serve Christ in the spirit, you're going to have problems. Why? Because you're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're wrestling against the prince power of the air. The devil don't want nobody to have any relationship with Jesus Christ. The devil hates Christ, and Christ hates the devil. They have nothing to talk about. The only thing that the devil can say about Jesus Christ, he can tell the world that he's no good. He belittles Christ. He says Christ ain't nothing. He tells Christ, why don't the world understand that the devil is what? He's an enemy to God Almighty. He started in heaven. He tried to take over heaven. He tried to take all the angels and put him in a position and dethrone God. And God said, you got to go, man. You can't come up in here. I'm the one that created you. I'm the one that made you. I spoke you into existence and all the angels, and here you are trying to take my throne. You can't do that. Get out. And he cast him to the earth. And he's been on this earth ever since he was cast out. And he's doing everything he can to stop God's plan, because God got an awesome plan. Ooh, my God, my God, my God. God got an awesome plan. He said, up on this rock, I'm going to build my. I'm going to build my church. Not the Baptist church, not the Presbyterian church, not the Catholic church, not the church of tomorrow, not the church of yesterday, not my, he said, my church. I'm going to purchase it. Not with no money, not with no bricks, not with no chandeliers. I'm not going to purchase like that. I'm going to purchase my church. Jesus Christ, Son of God, God's church. I'm going to purchase out of my blood. I'm going to save the individual soul and build my church out of my blood to save men's soul. I'm going to save men's soul because I'm building the kingdom. This kingdom is not of this world. This kingdom is in heaven. This kingdom is coming from heaven, and I'm going to build my kingdom in the future. I'm working on it right now. I've been working on it ever since the beginning of time. And when the fullness of time comes, I'm going to do a thing like never before. I'm going to remove my body. My body consists of born-again, baptized believers, people who are on fire for God, people who love God, people who like to see people get saved, people who are concerned about the soul of man. Men who are willing to lose their life and give up their life for the cause of Christ. Men who are not afraid to die. Men who are able to say, I'd rather live and die for Christ than anybody on this planet. I'd rather give up my life for the cause of Christ to win souls to Jesus Christ, because he's building the kingdom. And this kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom. An everlasting kingdom, a kingdom that God is going to build on this earth. And you say, when is he going to start this kingdom? He's already started. Guess what? Satan has had seven kingdoms up on this planet, seven empires, seven monarchs have been up on this earth, and Satan's kingdom has been building, and everyone that's built has been torn down. The Egyptian kingdom, gone. The Assyrian Empire, gone. The Babylonian Empire, gone. The Medo-Persian Empire, gone. The Grecian Empire, gone. And the Roman Empire, gone. But wait a minute. Satan got another plan. He's planning to rebuild the Roman government. What's the new Roman government called? The New World Order. That's what it's called. The New World Order. Satan is planning to rebuild and reestablish the Roman government, which will be called the New World Order or One World Government. He's working on it right now, and God is working on his kingdom. But before Satan gets the grip to society, God said, I'm going to let the world know exactly who I am before this kingdom gets to a place where it would deceive majority of the world. What is God going to do that's going to shock the world? You talking about Shaka Zulu? God's going to shock this world pretty soon. He's already putting some lay down, some rules and regulations. A lot of storms and tornadoes and hurricanes. All this is going on. It's going on not because God is permitting it, but because God has given this world to mankind, and mankind refused to serve the living God. So when you don't serve the living God, God's wrath will come upon you, and God's wrath is upon America. God's wrath upon every nation. But you know one thing that's stopping it? One thing is stopping it. The only reason God hadn't destroyed the world now is one reason. And that reason is what Christ did 2,000 years ago is still in power. He wants somebody to come to him. And somebody is right now. Somebody just got saved. Somebody might get saved under this ministry right now. I don't know, but I'm hoping I'm saying something. Amen. That will let you know that there's a kingdom come. And this kingdom is called the Millennium Reign. This kingdom that God is going to start upon the face of the earth is called the Millennium Reign of Jesus Christ. And it's in the making right now. But before it can come to reality, there's something got to happen before the kingdom come. And that is the seven-year tribulation has to take place on this planet before the kingdom come. Before Jesus Christ can come back, he has to do something. He has to do something extraordinary, something that will shock you down to your last spinal cord. And that is when Christ descends from heaven with a shout, the last trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and the rapture of the church is on the verge. The rapture of the church is on razor edge. The rapture of the church is at its last end, because we are living in the last church age, and the last church age is Laodicea. Now listen to what kind of condition that this last church age is in. Listen to what it is. Because you say, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that you are wretched. And if you in your sins, you're wretched. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ, you're wretched. Why does that say that? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that what? Save a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Blind, but now see. So if you're wretched, that means you're a sinner. That means you got sin in you. You got all kind of sins in you. There ain't no such thing as a good sin. Sin is rotten. I don't care what it is. It's rotten. You can't help it if you were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. God knows that. And God also knows when you get the age of responsibility, you are responsible for your sins. And you got to do something about it. If you don't do nothing about it, then you're going to die without Christ, And you're going to lift your eyes up in hell, and you're going to say, why didn't I accept Jesus Christ? Why didn't I? Because I thought that man was talking a whole bunch of junk. That man wasn't talking nothing. I'd like to hear something a little better than that. I'd like to hear something about my prosperity, motivation speeches. I'd like to say, God's going to bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me with a whole lot of goodies, a whole lot of materialistic things. But woo, what blessing you ought to be looking for is a blessing of being born again. That's the greatest blessing you can receive. Received from God Almighty. I don't care what nobody say, because poor people can get saved, rich people can get saved, ugly people can get saved, black people can get saved. God said it's a free gift, and if you don't want a free gift, shame on you. If you want to die and go to hell and go and pay for your own sins out through eternity, shame on you, shame on you, shame on you. My God, my God. Why? Because God said, I don't want to see nobody's perish. I want to let it linger on and linger on, but there's a time coming when the clock is going to have to stop and man going to have to answer to the judgment seat of Christ. Listen to what it says. You're wretched. You're miserable. The world is miserable today. The world is living in misery. Suicide is up. Homosexual is up. Misery. Lying, cheating, backbiting is up. Killing and murdering is up. Misery. Alcoholism is up. Wife swapping is up. Adultery is up. Fornication is up. Homosexuals are up. All is misery. Wretched. You're poor. You're the poorest man in the world. You don't know Jesus Christ, you're the poorest man in the world. You ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing to sustain you. You ain't got nothing to give you joy. You ain't got nothing to give you peace. You ain't got nothing to give you love. You just what? You just what? You just poor. Poor in spirit. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you're poor in spirit. You don't have the Spirit of God in you. And the only way you can receive the Spirit of God is through the blood. Through the blood of Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. You're blind. Blind as a bat. People are blind and don't see how close it is that Jesus Christ is getting ready to rapture the church. They don't see how close it is. It's closer than the skin on my body. It's closer than the blood running through my veins. It's closer to the closest of the closest of the closest. It's closer. Ooh, it's so close that I can't express and tell you exactly what's supposed to happen just before the rapture. What is going to happen before the rapture? All right, let's see what's going to happen before the rapture. Before the rapture, the world will go in chaos. The world will go into chaos. The world will be in such a bad shape, people will commit suicide like flies dropping off a cliff, like sandbags dropping off the side of a bridge. People, families are being slaughtered each other. People are being killed on the battlefield. It would be so bad. This is a sign of the rapture coming. The great falling away of the church. People don't sing like they used to. Preachers don't preach like they used to. People don't live like they used to. Why? Because they have fallen away from the faith. They have fallen away from the cross. They have fallen away from holiness. They have fallen away from sanctification. They have fallen away from justification. They have fallen away from the love of God, because the Bible says if you say you love God, if you say you love God and hate your brother, you're a liar. If you hate your brother, you're a liar and the truth is not in you, because God is love, and whoever loveth his brother loveth God, because God is love, nothing but love. You love the unlovely, you love the just, and you love the unjust, because God loves the just and he loves the unjust. The thing it is, he wants the unjust to become just, and the only way you become just like Christ is through his son, Jesus Christ, and he shed blood. This is what it says, blind and you are naked. You are spiritually naked. You ain't got nothing on. You stark naked. You stripping through society naked. You have no righteousness about you because your own righteousness is like filthy rags, stinking, dirty rags, full of bugs and lice and bed bugs. Your life to you, to yourself, ain't worth nothing without Jesus Christ. You got that form, what I say, you got that form of godliness, but you ain't got no power. And that power can only come from Jesus Christ. I can't live a sanctified life until I meet Jesus Christ. I can't live a holy life until I know Jesus Christ. Because it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I got a great power in me. Who is that great power? Jesus Christ keeps me day by day. Lead me and guide me through this narrow way. He is my hope and my joy. He's the only thing I got that I know can take me on the other side. What am I looking for? I'm looking for the rapture. I'm expecting the rapture. What are some of the signs that the rapture is near? One of the greatest signs that ever hit, the Word of God. This is one of the greatest signs. Listen to what I got to say. The greatest sign is the return of the Jewish nation in Palestine. That was the greatest sign that Jesus Christ is coming very soon, and that sign was fulfilled in 1948. I got to go back and show you how close we are. 1948, the Jewish nation became a nation for the first time over the period of 2,600 years. When they were driven out of Jerusalem and went to Babylon, they was in Babylon for 70 years. They stayed in there for 70 years, and God said, I'm going to keep you here until you turn from your evil way, and I'm going to return you back into the land flowing with milk and honey, because that is your land. And guess what? They returned in 1948, May the 14th. They have been a nation for 75 years, and they're preparing to meet the false Messiah. Because before Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, there's going to be a false Antichrist. The Antichrist is a specimen that the devil's going to use in the tribulation period. There's a man on the earth right now. Oh, y'all listen to me, please. I'm telling you the truth. If you wanted me to take, if you want to take me down to this firing squad and say, Brother Bazaar, we're going to shoot you if you don't change your prophecies. If you don't change, I say, well, you just have to shoot me, because it's going to happen. The Antichrist is here on the earth now. The presidential election for the United States and for the world is in jeopardy. If Trump don't get in, and he's not going to bring peace, but there's some things that have to make an adjustment. If Trump get in, a lot of people don't want him in. They may have to try to what? Assassinate him. They may have to try to rig the election up. But whatever it is, you know what I do? I'm not particularly going to vote. I'll tell you who I'm going to vote for, but I tell you, if I had a choice, I tell you I would take Trump, and I'm not putting no politics on the, on my air. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ knows exactly what's getting ready to happen. And if America don't repent of their sins, I don't care who get in. If America don't back up Israel 110%, America's in trouble. America's already has turned their back on God. Look at our churches. Look at our preachers. Look how people are living. Look how people are doing God. Look how they're mistreating the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is telling Jesus Christ, in a way of speaking, it may sound kind of vulgar to you, but they're telling Jesus Christ, why don't you take that blood and that cross and your burial, your death and your resurrection and shove it up your nose, because we don't want it. We don't want Jesus. We want to do what we want to do and try to claim Jesus. No. If you don't want Jesus, you don't have to accept him. That's what the world is saying. You can take all this gospel, all this good gospel, all the suffering that Christ done, all the time that he spent on earth, 33 1/2 years, all the miracles he done, everything he done. The world is telling Jesus Christ, take this stuff and shove it up your nose and keep it where you want it. Because we don't want that. And the world is saying, we don't want Jesus Christ. Don't you know that? Majority of the world is going to die and go to hell. Don't you know that? It's a sad thing and it's a harsh thing to say, but majority of the world is going to go to hell. Well, you say, well, how do you know, Brother Bazzardo? Where did you get your information? Let me tell you. Let me get it. Let me get it. 13th chapter of what? 13th chapter of Revelation. Let's see what we got. Let's see what we got. 13th chapter. And we're going to try to break this down for you so you'll know this Antichrist is coming. We see what he's trying to do. In the 13th chapter, we see John on the Isle of Patmos in 96 A.D. And he wrote this, and I stood upon the sands of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. This here pertains to the Antichrist. He will be empowered by Satan. Now understand this. He will be empowered by Satan as no other man ever has been. I want you to get that now. This Antichrist is going to be empowered by Satan. And when he's empowered by Satan, he will become a beast because the devil don't give. Can I say this? But I've been... The devil don't care a damn about you. I'm telling you like it is. The devil don't care a damn about you. He don't care nothing for you. But he want to use you to turn against God. That's what the devil wants you. And he wants you to keep on sinning, keep on lying, keep on backbiting, keep on. Because he don't care nothing about your soul. He don't care nothing about your life after death. He don't care where you go. He cares where you go, because if you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he's going to lose a soul. But if you stay with him, he's going to give you everything that you desire. He's going to give you all the pleasures. He's going to give you all the money. He's going to give you all the prestige. He's going to give you all that to keep you away from the mercy and the love and the long-suffering that Christ did for you on Calvary's cross. So he don't care nothing about you. And here he is in the book of Revelation. John said, I stood up on the sea and saw a beast coming by the sea. He's going to come up out of humanity. Humanity. The sea represents humanity. And the largest sea in the world, the largest sea in the world is the Mediterranean Sea. The Mediterranean Sea has 21 countries bordering it all around. Has 21 countries. And these countries are populated. And it's the only sea in the world that has more people surrounding this sea. And that's why John said, out of the sea shall come this beast. And this beast is coming out of the midst of the sea of humanity, which is the Mediterranean Sea, which represents the peoples of the world. And these peoples of the world, if you would take 1 million people and spread them over a large area and get up in an airplane and look down, it would look like a sea. It would look like a roaring sea. So John is, he's symbolically giving you a example of types and shadow and symbols. The beast represents the Antichrist after he's been energized by Satan. And he would be the most powerful man that ever lived up on the face of the earth since the beginning of the first rebellion man that ever lived, and that was Cain that slayed his brother. because the devil is a murderer. And you can take all the world dictators, Stalin, Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, all these world leaders, and put them together, they won't be nothing compared to the power of Satan. And Satan is going to energize this man. And he's going to come up out of the sea of humanity. And when Satan enters him, he's going to become a beast, an animal, a wild animal, an animal that will eat flesh. And he says, having seven heads and 10 horns. The seven heads represent the seven world empires that greatly persecuted Israel in the past, with 10 horns actually being seven heads. The 10 horns represent the 10 nations are yet future. Well, what are the 10 nations that exist now upon the face of the earth? What are the 10 nations? Here are the 10 nations that exist now. The 10 nations came into existence. The first one came into existence in 1948. Was Denmark, Britain, and Ireland. That's the first three. That's the 10. That's the beginning of the 10 horns. The seven world empires, let me go back a little bit. The seven world empires is the Egyptian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Median Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. Those are the seven heads. And then it said it had 10 horns. 10 horns represent the 10 European common market nations. The first three that came into existence was 1948. 1948, Denmark, Britain, and Ireland. 1952, Netherlands, Belgium, and Luxembourg. The next three is West Germany, France, and Italy. These are the 10 horns. And the last horn that came in, the last horn that makes it make 10 horns was Greece. And Greece came in the existence of 1981. Now, this is history being, this is biblical prophecy being fulfilled, and now these 10 horns are in full swing. And the 10 horns is called modern-day terminology, eschatology, end time. It's called NATO. NATO represents North Atlantic Treaty Organization. These are the 10 horns. And the 10 horns represent the 10 European common market nations that are in power right now. And NATO and America is united together because NATO represent the western part of the British Empire, and the British was the one that came to America as pilgrims and Puritans, and they established the United States of America. So America came from Britain. So America is linked up with NATO now. Now they are going to connect together. And out of NATO, out of these 10 horns, in the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel, the 25th verse, if you can write that down, 7th chapter of Daniel, the 25th verse, you got to read it. You got to read it. And it says, Daniel saw these 10 horns, and these 10 horns is mentioned in Revelation. And since these 10 horns are Revelation, Daniel said, I saw. This is what Daniel said. I saw another little horn. And this other little horn represents the 11th nation that came into power in 1986. in 1986, this nation came in power as the 11th horn spoken by Daniel the prophet. And it was so vivid to Daniel, it was so awesome to Daniel, that he was sick about it for 2 weeks. Because Daniel spoke in 606 B.C., he spoke clear across 2,600 years up to the year 2024. We're living in 2024. 2024 said this is the time that NATO, the 10 horns and the 10 heads, will be in place, and they are in place right now. And by being in place right now, it gives us a warning that we are living in absolutely the last days just before the Antichrist comes. We know what Antichrist is coming for, and I'm going to tell you exactly what country he's coming from. I'm going to tell you where he's born before the night's over. I want you to get your encyclopedia, go to the library, get on your knees and say, Lord, is this preacher telling me the truth? Let me look into it. I just can't talk about it. You got to look in it for yourself and find out where you at. Because a lot of people don't know where they're at. A lot of church folks don't know where they're at. A lot of preachers don't know where they're at. A lot of sisters and brothers don't know where they're at. We're living at the climax of what? The rapture of the church. And because when the rapture of the church comes, this is when this Antichrist is going to come on the peace scene. This is what it says. It says, having seven heads and 10 horns, the seven world empires, the 10 horns represent the European common market, NATO, and up on his horns, 10 crowns. It shows that these 10 crowns will have power and will use that power to help the Antichrist. They will be located in the Middle East and in the parts of Europe and possibly North Africa, all being in all the old Roman Empire. Woo! The old Roman Empire stretched clear across the Mediterranean Sea, all the way over to the Rock of Gibraltar, all the way back to the east part of Jerusalem. The Roman government was the largest Roman government and the most cruelest government on the face of the earth at that time. And Rome is now trying to be revived by the Antichrist, and the Antichrist will become the beast, and the beast had what? 10 horns up on his head and had 10 heads. Had seven heads, which represent the fallen world empires, would come back in control of the whole world through the Antichrist. Listen to what it says now. It says here, and up on his head, the name blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. In other words, this empire that's coming, NATO Western and Eastern Europe, would be like a leopard. In other words, it would be swift. It would be a swift conqueror. This Antichrist would be like a leopard. And his feet was the feet of a bear. And this bear represents vicious. Antichrist would be a vicious man that would be full of the raw entity of the fallen angel Lucifer, will energize himself and reincarnate himself and become a main source of the beast, because he will be in the man, the Antichrist. And his mouth is a mouth of a lion. In other words, he will have great authority over the population of the earth. He will rule with an iron claw. He will be speedy like a leopard. He will be vicious like a bear. And a bear is one thing you don't want to mess with. You don't want to mess with a female bear. A female bear is no challenge to a little old man. They can wipe that claw across you and take your head off of your shoulder. Well, the Antichrist is going to be the same way. He's going to take your head off of your shoulder if you fall under his influence. Woo! I hope it's getting to you. All right, listen to what it says. He says, and his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon, the devil, gave him what? His power and his seat at great authority. Well, the devil is going to rule the world. Because why? He rules the world now. He's the god of this age. He's got majority of the people dying and going to hell. I'm telling you this in love. I'm telling you what the Bible say. I'm telling you what Jesus, amen, is telling me. I'm telling you what the Holy Spirit is telling me. I'm telling you what God tells. I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth. I'm not saying this to protect the innocent. I'm not telling you to protect the guilty. I'm telling you just like it is. This is what this man is going to do. And he's alive today on this planet. And I'm going to give you the country that he's coming from. And I'm going to give you his name. And what you ought to do is when I get through, fall on your knees and say, Lord Jesus, reveal to me what Daniel is saying in the book of Daniel. And not only in the book of Daniel, but the book of Revelation. Because this is what it said. And then it says this. Hold on. Look here. Look what it says, the third verse. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. What head is that? That's the 11th horn will be wounded to death. The 11th head is the 11th horn, or you could say the 11th crown, or you could say the 11th king. Antichrist will be the 11th horn, will be the 11th, one of his heads was wounded, which would be the 11th, wounded to death, refers to what? An assassination. An assassination to the Antichrist. Assassination means that he will be shot with an assassin bullet during the time of the tribulation period. But get me right now. Get me right. I'm going to break this down for you. In the beginning of the tribulation, this Antichrist will come on a peace platform. He will come saying to the world, peace, peace. And he's going to make peace with Jerusalem. He's going to make peace with the Jews. He's going to make peace with the temple building. He's going to make peace with the five red heifers that the Jews are planning to receive. He's going to make peace with the Jews, and he's going to make a covenant with the Jews for what? 7 years. This will only happen after, get me now, after the rapture. It won't happen now. Because the world today is trying to find somebody that can what? Make peace. Make peace. We want peace. For 6,000 years, the world has been in a hellish war, war against war, war against the devil. Out of 6,000 years, we only had at least 600 years of peace. So peace, it will be the main thing that this Antichrist will ensue upon each person, and the world will say, yes, this is what we have been looking for. We need peace in America. You need peace in your home. You need peace need to be spread abroad. But the Antichrist will not bring nothing but a false peace. And this false peace will be brought by the Antichrist making a seven-year covenant with the Jewish people, and the Gentile nation will be amazed when the Antichrist will settle the war in Jerusalem that's going on now. The Antichrist will say, I will bring peace to Jerusalem. And when you find this so-called peace, it ain't going to be peace for long. The world is going to say, yes, this is what we want. So this Antichrist, this 11th horn, will be assassinated. You got that? He would be killed just like President Kennedy and Abraham Lincoln, a deadly wound to the head. Kennedy was shot in the head. Abraham Lincoln was shot in the back of the head. But they never got up. There's no man that ever been shot or been assassinated that's in high office ever got up. But Jesus Christ was never shot, but they killed him. They slayed him on a tree, hung, and he died, and he got up out the grave. That's the only one that got up out the grave on his own power. But listen to this. This is what the devil going to do.
This is what Satan going to do. This is what Beelzebub going to do. This is what the old dragon going to do. Here's what he going to do. He's going to let this man be shot because he's going to plan it out. And the Bible says in 13 and 3, he says, and his deadly wound was healed, refers to the fact that this fallen angel will be released out of the bottomless pit. And to aid the abyss to the Antichrist, it is doubtful that the Antichrist will know or realize the source of his power, taking all the credit unto himself. So this Antichrist is going to be assassinated, a man that was born in a period of time in this generation, a man that has a family right now, a man that has a family. He has a wife and two daughters, and he lives in the 11th country or the 11th horn or the 11th king. He lives in this country, and the country is known as Spain, capital S-P-A-I-N. Spain is where the Antichrist is living now, 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 not tomorrow, now. He was born in Madrid, Spain. He is the son of Juan Carlos. And Juan Carlos was the first sign of the becoming the Antichrist because the Jews invited Juan Carlos over into Jerusalem and anointed him and considered him as being the king of Jerusalem. This is biblical. But you just can't read the Bible and expect to explain. You got to go to the library. You got to find out, because everything that's written in the library, history, is in the Bible. Everything. TV is in the Bible. The computer is in the Bible. The automobile is in the Bible. All these things that you see going on today, amen, has been done aforetime. All this technology has been done aforetime. There's nothing new. There's nothing new. There's nothing new. There's nothing new under the heaven that has not been done in the past that's going on right now. So you just came on the scene. You just been born 50 or 30 years ago. But this was going on before that. So what we got? We got the Antichrist, the 11th horn, and the 11th country that came into power was Spain. And Juan Carlos had a son. His son was named Felipe, King Felipe. Go to the library. Go to the YouTube. You can find it. It's there. You can see him, see what he looked like. He stands at 6'6". He got six letters in his name. He's been the king of Spain for the last, from 2014 until this present day. Before he became a king, he was a prince. The Bible said he would be a prince, then he would become a king. When he come on the scene, he's king now. His father got too old, plus there was some discrepancy in his kingship, and his father gave the kingship to his son, King Felipe the Sixth. And he's getting ready now to come on the scene, because we are in the last days. The Jews are looking for him. The Jews are waiting for him. The Jews are getting ready. I'm talking about the Jews. The church seems like they dead and sleepy and wagging their heads and complaining. The church ain't doing what they're supposed to do, and that includes me. I want to do more for the Lord. I want to let the world know time is running out. The day is far spent. It's no time for hanky-panky. It's no time for jiving and shiving. It ain't no time for that. It's time to get on my sin-bending knee and say, Lord, show me. Touch my heart. Touch my mind to see how close we are. So if the man is alive, born January the 30th, 1968, that's when he was born in Spain, go to 4 military schools, know 10 languages, got 10 letters in his name, He belongs to what? He belongs to the dark order. He belongs to the Luciferians. He belongs to every secret society that you can name. He knows all about him. He knows all about them. He is what? He is now waiting for the proper time to come on the scene, because he cannot come. He cannot come until the body of Jesus Christ is removed from the planet. When he is removed from the planet, the only thing going to be removed is what? The church, the body of Christ, the Holy Spirit that's restraining them now will be moved back a little bit. But the Holy Spirit will never leave this planet Earth, because the Holy Spirit will have a work after the rapture of the church, because the rapture of the church don't say it's the end of the world. It's the end of the church age and the beginning of the seven-year tribulation, which the Antichrist will rise up on a peaceful platform. He will come up talking peace. He will tell the Jewish people, peace. He will give the Jewish nation the opportunity and the authority to start building your temple. The Jews require in building a third temple. They got to have that temple in order for Christ to return. They got to have the Ark of the Covenant. They got to have the seven. They got to have the five red heifers. They already are getting the priesthood ready. They're getting the menorah ready. They're getting the stones hewed out. They're getting the architecture and all those people to rebuild an extravagant temple in which they will try to start up the old sacrificial offering, because they don't believe that Jesus Christ came and died for them, but yet still they're going to believe the false Christ. Because the false Christ does not require righteous living. It does not require repentance. It does not require the blood-shed Savior that died on Calvary's cross. The only thing that this Antichrist wants is worship. Oh, I wish you could understand what I'm saying. God gonna keep his promise. God is really what he said. God don't play with nobody. And he ain't playing with me, and I ain't playing with him. So this Antichrist cannot come on the scene. But the Jews are almost ready to receive the false Christ. And he will be coming from Spain. And the Spanish people, listen to what I'm saying, Spanish people is a brother to Jacob. Esau was a brother to Jacob. And the Spanish people come from Esau. So Jacob and Esau are brothers. The Spanish people and the Jewish people are brothers. And the Spanish people know all about their history and where they came from. When Jacob came out of Rebekah's womb, when Esau came out of Rebekah's womb, Jacob took a hold of Jacob's heel. And he took his birthright and he took his inheritance, and Jacob made an enemy towards his own brother, because he took all his inheritance and took his birthright. And ever since then, the Spanish people have an art against the Jewish people, because they are brothers. And by them being brothers, this will be the one that the Antichrist has come from, because to tell me Jeremiah in the 31st chapter, around about the 7th verse, he said there's a time coming called Jacob's trouble. And this Jacob's trouble will be the last part of the 3.5 years of the tribulation period, where Israel will go into another Holocaust. You talking about a Holocaust that Hitler made. They tell me the Jews are trying, the nations of the world will try to exterminate the Jewish people. That's why you got war everywhere in the Middle East, because the Middle East is a place in which the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return. And when he returns, he's going to return at the end of the tribulation period, and he's going to be coming on a white horse. The white horse is at the end of the tribulation period. So what's going to happen? The Antichrist will be killed. And he will lay in the morgue or in the rotunda
for 3 days, dead. I said he would lay in the rotunda. He would lay in the mall, dead, for 3 days. And after the 3 days, something will happen in heaven that has never happened before. And that event will shock the whole world. And here it is. Okay, wait a minute. Let me go back. I'm sorry. We go back where it says, after this beast is resurrected from the dead and the deadly wound healed, in the third verse it says, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, the devil, which gave power unto the beast, the Antichrist, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? So the world will be saying, we believe that this man is Jesus Christ, but they will be deceived and it will be the beast. And they will say, who is like this man? Who is like him? He's debonair. He is smart. He's a great orator. He knows how the words are saying. He will be our Christ. But it would be the false Christ. It would be a phony. It would be a Catholic clown. It would be something that the world has never witnessed. And they will say, who is like this man? Nobody can be like him. All the world empires and dictators can't compare to him. Why? Because he is the devil. Raw devil, raw Beelzebub, raw Lucifer, raw. And he will be like a bear. He will be like a leopard. He will be like a lion. He will be vicious. And he will illuminate and exalt himself and call himself God. He will bring peace, a semi-peace in the first part of the tribulation. And there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given to him to continue 42 months. The 42 months represent 3.5 years in the latter part of the seven-year tribulation. Because the seven-year tribulation is split into two parts. First part, 3.5 years. Second part, 3.5 years. Last part, 3.5 years. Hell. You talking about hell? You're going to see part of hell on this earth. But in the middle of the tribulation, this is what's going to happen in the middle of the tribulation period. In the 12th chapter, just before the resurrection of the Antichrist, look what 12 and 7 says. 12 and 7 says, and there was a war in heaven pertaining to the mystery of God being finished. There's going to be a war in heaven, not the literary heaven, but the heavens of heavenlies. The first and second heaven is where Lucifer's at. It's where all the evil spirits lurk. I don't know if it's Mars or Jupiter or Saturn or Pluto. I don't know exactly the planet, but Satan is Lucifer, and he rules the air right now. He's the prince power of the air. He's a god of this world, and he's got millions of demons and devils and cohorts. He's got millions of Nephilims, and we'll get into that later on. There was a war in heaven, so the war in heaven, Michael and his angel, that's Michael, the archangel, and Michael is found also in the book of Daniel. Let me get that for you. I do want you to read this in the book of Daniel, 12th chapter. It says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of your people, the Jewish people. And there shall be a time of trouble.
Woo! I say that again. This shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, Israel, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who shall be found written in the book. That's Michael protecting Israel. And by Michael protecting Israel, he's found over here in Revelation in the 12th chapter, 7th verse, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, the devil. The dragon fought against his angels. So there is a galactical war that's going to occur in heaven, and it's about ready to occur. It's about ready. That's why you got all these windstorms and all this tornadoes. Woo! The devil's stirring up stuff new because God's giving permission to. But without God's permission, the devil can't do sweat. So we're in the midpoint of the tribulation period. Here's what's happening. And after Lucifer tried to overthrow Michael, and he prevailed not, he didn't win. Neither was there found, neither were place found anymore in heaven. So he comes to earth. What you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. Listen, this is a spiritual thing. Satan is coming to earth. He's the prince power of the air now, but he's being dethroned from being the prince power of the air, and he's going to come down to earth. When he comes to earth, he's going to bring all his utensils, all his warfare, all his UFOs, all these entities, all these demons, all these Nephilims, all these wicked spirits, he's going to bring to earth and invade earth in the middle of the tribulation period. In the middle, not the beginning, but in the middle, he's going to bring that. When he comes down here, that's when he's going to energize and reincarnate himself in the Antichrist. And he's going to bring his demons from the Euphrates River, because the Euphrates River is drying up right now. And underneath the Euphrates River, there's four angels bound in chain, ready to be released. When they be released, they're going to come out of the bottomless pit, and they are going to kill and slaughter one-third of the human population. And the devil is going to head for the body and reincarnate and resurrect the Antichrist. He's going to get up, and the world going to say, yo, wow, this is what we believe. We believe he is God Almighty. We believe that. Why? Because you have been deceived. You have been bamboozled. You have been hoodwinked. You believe that this man got up out of the grave with no nail prints, ain't got no identity or credentials to say that he's the real Christ. They believe that just because he got up from the grave by the power of Satan. And Satan will say, now I am God Almighty. And in the middle of that tribulation period, Satan will break his covenant in the middle of the tribulation period. And he will go inside the temple and desecrate the Ark of the Covenant. He will desecrate the temple. He will set up an idol, the image of the beast, in the temple. I don't know how big this machine is, but it's got enough power by the false prophet. The false prophet is going to go into the temple and speak to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast will speak, and the image of the beast comes from what? AI. There's your AI. Artificial intelligence will rule Jerusalem from a computer system. It will be so powerful that the image of the beast will speak, and it will say, if you receive the mark of the beast on the back of your hand,
or in your forehead, you will be able to buy or sell. You will have the authority to go to your bank. You will have the authority to drive your car. You will have the authority to go to work. You have authority, have all the necessity to live a life. But if you refuse to receive the mark, you will be beheaded for the cause of Christ. And this mark of the beast most likely will be a computer chip that will be placed in the back of your hand or on your forehead. And you ain't going to go to no very few churches you are going to go to right now today that's going to hear this kind of gospel. And this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's talking about the judgment of the world, and people are going to be judged by the Antichrist as far as who you're going to choose to serve, the devil or you going to serve Jesus Christ. That's why it's going to be hell on earth all the way up to the end of the tribulation period. And you want to know, is the government straight? No. Every last president, except maybe one or two or three. But lead what the Bible say. General MacArthur believed Revelation 19 and 11. General MacArthur believed in Revelation. I don't know if he believed in Jesus Christ, but he said on USS Missouri in 1945, August the 6th, he told the Japanese, and told the world, look, if we don't find a more different way of settling our difference, if we don't, if you don't, if America, if the nations of the world don't find a better way to settle the difference, Armageddon lies at our front door. And guess what? He's 110% right, because that's where we're headed, Armageddon. The war that's going over in Jerusalem right now is going to end up at Armageddon. The war that you see now is going to increase more and more as we go into 2024. There's going to be more killing. There's going to be more mass murder. And people's babies are being killed, and people are being starved. Why? Because this is the end time. This is the last day. This is before the rapture of the church. But after the rapture of the church, all hell will break loose. But first, it's going to have a peace ordinance, and that peace ordinance is going to turn into hell on earth. So all the AI that you see now, all this modern technology, the people, the population of the earth is getting ready for the mark. And inside of that mark is a virus. Inside that computer chip is a virus. And that virus, when it's shot into your hand or in your forehead, it will get into your bloodstream. And when it gets into your bloodstream, it will destroy your conscious. It will destroy your conscious and your spirit where God dwells, and it will eliminate your God conscious. You won't believe in God ever again. You won't have the opportunity to believe in God. You will believe that this Antichrist is God because of what he has to offer you. You'd rather choose the world than choose Jesus Christ. All the UFOs and the Nephilim and the demons will inhabit the earth. In the ninth chapter of Revelation, it says, I opened the bottomless pit. An angel came down and opened the bottomless pit, and out of the pit came smoke and scorpions. In the ninth chapter of Revelation, the fifth trumpet says, and they what? And they sting men so bad that they'll want to die. They will be leaping off a building. They will put guns to their head, shooting themselves. They will be stabbing themselves. They will be walking zombies. Why? Because men will rather say, we want Satan. We want Satan. We, which is the devil, witchcraft, voodooism, and all that, it was joined in together, and they would try to blaspheme God and call him everything but the Son of God, Jesus Christ the righteous, the blood lamb, the one that died on Calvary's cross. And guess what? They will be damned into hell. And Jerusalem, hallelujah, praise God, will become the focal point, the ultimate point, where Christ will return to his home, where he was born, where he healed the sick and raised the dead, where he was nailed with God Almighty, nailed to Calvary. He was laid in the grave, a borrowed grave. He stayed in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. And on the third day morning, he got up with all power in heaven and earth. And I don't know about you, but I would check it out. Time is running out. If I was you, I would repent right now. If I was you, because if you don't come to Christ, you may have to go through the tribulation period. And if you go to the tribulation period, that don't mean you're going to hell, but you might have not a second chance, but you might have the last chance. And you know the church won't be here. The church won't be here to preach the gospel. But the Lord God Almighty said to the Jew, I ain't finished with you yet. You got 7 years upon this earth to preach the gospel, and then you will find it. You will find the last opportunity that the Jews will be able to preach the gospel found in the 7th chapter of Revelation. The 7th chapter of Revelation tells you about John said, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, and he had seals in their hand. They came from the east and sealed what? 144,000. 144,000 is 144,000 Jewish men that were preached for the first 3.5 years. The gospel would no longer be preached by the church, the gospel of grace. The Jews would preach the gospel of the kingdom. They were preaching that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And they will preach that he's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. The church will be preaching. The church is preaching now the gospel of grace, that Jesus Christ is going to rapture the church and remove the church. That's the gospel of grace. And the church is raptured. We're going to meet the Lord in the air and go to the judgment seat of Christ. And then the Jews are going to preach. 144,000 Jews will preach. And how many from each tribe? The Bible tells me so. It tells me that, listen, I got about 5 minutes. 144,000 Jews will preach, and the tribes will be in order. And out of the tribe of Judah, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Gad, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Asher, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Nephilim, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Levi, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000. Out of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000. 12,000 times 12 equals 144,000. They will preach for January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November. They'll do that for 3.5 years. Oh, my God. They're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. There ain't going to be no church meeting. There ain't going to be none of this stuff that's going on now. People are going to listen. People are going to see. The whole world is going to witness the gospel of the kingdom through the Jewish people. First 3.5 years. After the 3.5 years, 144,000 will be redeemed from the earth. And they will be on Mount Zion. They will go to heaven. They will be raptured up. But after they get through preaching, John said, and I'm getting ready to close. John said, after the 3.5 years, in the middle of that tribulation period, John said, I see something I never seen before. What is this, and who are they, and where did they come from? And one of the elders said, don't you know where they come from? He said, no. And one elder said, these are they that heard the gospel of the kingdom by the Jewish people. These are they that came through great trials and tribulation. He said, I see a number. Hey, I see a number. I see a number no man can number. I see a number from every nation, from every kingdom, from every tongue. Who are they? These are the saints. These are the ones that accepted Jesus Christ after the rapture. A great host. A number that no man can number. The church will be in heaven at this time, and they will be looking down. They will be looking down at this. I can't wait. I cannot wait to see this awesome judgment of the world. I can't see for the ones that got saved. I feel sorry for the ones that received the Antichrist. And then God, he's going to send two witnesses in the second part of the tribulation period. The last three won't have it. He's going to send Moses and Elijah. And these men would have power to shut up heaven that it won't rain for 3.5 years. These men would have power to turn water to blood. These men would have power to shut the rain system down that it won't rain for 3.5 years. Oh, my God, can't you see what I'm saying? These men are getting ready now, Moses and Elijah. Old Testament prophets that did not finish their ministry. Moses didn't finish his, and Elijah didn't finish his, but now they're going to finish it and wrap it up. Do you know him today? Do you know Jesus Christ? If you don't know Jesus Christ today, you need to know him. You need to bow your head right now where you at. And this is Brother Bazaar speaking. This is the Spirit of the Lord. This is the Spirit of Christ speaking to me. You need to bow your head right now and see what the world condition is and look at what's going on in the Middle East, because the Middle East is the focal point of Jesus Christ's return. The war is not going to stop. There's going to be a war coming. There's a war coming now, and then there's a war coming. That's the peak of the tribulation period, and it's called Gog and Magog. That war is found in the 37th and 38th and 39th chapter of Ezekiel, where Russia will make an attack upon Israel to conquer the Middle East. And it's going to fail. And that's when God is going to shake the heavens and the earth. And that's when Russia is going to be defeated. And men are going to kill each other. And blood is going to be all over the mountains of Israel. And the world is going to be startled. The world is going to be startled and yet still. Majority of the world will not repent. You need Jesus today. Only thing you got to do is say, Lord, Apostle Paul said, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. 10 and 9 said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in your heart, your spirit realm, that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever you are at right now, this is Brother Bazaar. You can throw up your hands wherever you are and bow your heads and say, Lord, I'm sorry for being a sinner. I repent of my sins. I confess with my mouth and believe with my heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Save my soul right now, Jesus. Come into my life. I opened up my spirit. I opened up my spirit door. Come on in. I'm sorry for my sins. Save me right now. In Jesus' name. It's that simple. Confess with your mouth. Don't be left here during the rapture. It's almost here. This is Elder G. Bazaar
coming to you from Warren, Ohio. God bless you. God smile upon you. See you next time. Watchman on the Wall, End Time Radio Ministry. In Jesus' name, love you all. Love you, love you, love you, love you. In Jesus' name, amen.